feel you got some action happening, but should Camp Paradise supporters be ready to rush out at a moment's notice, or do you think you're going to be setting up soon?
What's we're going to be setting up as soon as we can. We were going to set up yesterday, but the rain really wiped us out.
Right.
We didn't want to go out there and stay wet and set up in the wet, so we're going to take a break today. And what we're told, that starting tonight at 10 o'clock, they'll be coming in doing security checks on the house. So as of tonight, we ought to be camping.
I see. So you may have to be actually setting up tonight then.
Yeah.
Wow, I guess...
Yeah, we got till 10 o'clock tonight to find out what we're going to do, and if we can't find out what we're going to do, we're going to set up camp.
So how can people get in touch with you by phone to get more information?
They can call me at 423-8636. And today's the day. I mean, we ain't got no choice. At 10 o'clock tonight, we got to set up or leave Santa Cruz. It's our choice.
423-8636. All right. Well, we've been talking with Larry Templeton of Camp Paradise, and good luck, Larry. Let me know when anything happens.
I sure will. And everybody's more welcome to come on over. We can sure use that.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now the phone lines are open again, in case you've been itching to call in. 427-3772 is the number. 427-3772. Again, I invite you to come to HUF meetings, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meetings. They happen every Wednesday, 8:30 at Baker's Square in the morning at 1107 Ocean.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yes, I wanted to remind you there's still a problem in the woods with homeless campers.
Could this be the notorious Pat Kittle?
I don't know about notorious, but whatever.
Uh-huh. So have you had some recent experiences, Pat, that you wanted to bring to our attention? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think I called you this time last week and brought this up, and I have brought it up from time to time. You seem to act in good faith and, you know, kind of agree with me and give it a little lip service, but to me, not all homeless people are bums, but that's not to say that all homeless people aren't bums. I mean, if you go out in the woods and trash the woods, in my opinion, you are a bum.
Uh-huh. Well, you're certainly a dirty camper, that's for sure.
That too.
Uh-huh.
So, since the last time I talked to you, I've seen, you know, more of that. And
so where have you seen that, Pat? What?
I've been actually doing habitat restoration in the Poganips, down along Highway 9, up to the tracks, and just right there I'm seeing it. And, you know, there's plenty of places that I personally don't see, so I figure it's hardly likely that I'm seeing the only place that there is. I mean, when I am in other areas, I see trash all the time. I've spent a lot of time that I should be spending on habitat restoration cleaning up after bums, and I hate it. It pisses me off. Mm-hmm. And I think, why can't somebody, you know, I'm so tired of hearing about how, you know, they have so many problems. Well, if you're healthy enough to bring in a full container of whatever you're bringing in, you're healthy enough to take the empty container back out. That's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Have you noticed anything in the last week or two up there?
I just got done telling you. Since I talked to you last week, I've seen more of it.
So, like, where and what?
I just got done telling you, between Highway 9 and the tracks.
Right.
You know, right as you get out of town.
And this is new stuff rather than the old stuff, huh?
I mean, right from Highway 9 is, you know how when you're going north out of town, the first left-hander as you get into the, I guess you call it the woods? Right as you get out of the urban habitat there and you go around the left-hander.
I'm not...
You're familiar with the Poganip, aren't you?
No. I've been only up there once or twice.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Not much of a camper myself.
Well, anyway, there's more trash now. If you go around that bend right from the highway, you can see more trash straight in front of you right after you make that left-hander up. Just underneath the tracks, which are the corridor for the railroad, is
well. I would put out
visible there.
I would put out my
The reason I'm going into detail here is because you asked.
No, I appreciate that.
I can document this stuff. I've also spent a good deal of time up along the Big Trees Railroad in Henry Cowell, taking out trash along with some hiker I met up there when I was working with a state parks crew. And he told me, you know, there's junkies shooting galleries, and he showed me where they were. And so I spent a Sunday with him cleaning up that stuff. And we were both thoroughly disgusted. I mean, if you wanna impose your human self on the little remaining wildlands habitat,
right,
at least don't be a jerk about it, you know?
You know what you might consider doing, Pat, and I've suggested this to others who are knowledgeable in this field, is to drop a series of guidelines about tidy camping, packing in your stuff. In fact, I'd even...
Well, isn't rocket science. I mean, if somebody knows that they're... Uh-huh. Somebody knows when they're trashing a place, they don't need to be told that litter is uncool.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I appreciate your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I hope that you will, you know, I know your priority is...
survival for people outside. Yeah.
Advocating homeless rights. But
yep.
I must say, if you and people, you know, fellow citizens who aren't homeless, if they see the homeless behaving in a responsible way, making an effort, it's going to go a long way towards everybody else feeling a little more compassion. I know it well for me, because I find it very hard to feel compassionate for people that are trashing the remaining wildlands. I mean, there are so many assaults on the wildlands. I won't go into the details.
Gotcha.
But we don't need any more. We don't need slobs. We don't need bums.
Gotcha. Thank you, Pat.
All right.
So... pack in your shit and pack out your shit is a good lesson. On the other hand, let's not arrest people for sleeping, folks. That's another good lesson I hope the authorities learn. Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, is what you're tuned to, and it's what you're getting. Let's see what we got here. We just heard from Larry Templeton, and we heard again his concern that there's going to be a bed check over at the Santa Cruz Service Corps tonight, meaning that they have to be out of that building and they're going to be camping. So you might want to get in touch at 423-8636 for more details.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Nurse, you're sticking up for them bastard civil rights, you?
Yes, sir.
My name's Pat, damn you.
Yes, sir. Well, it doesn't sound like Pat to me. I suspect you're an imposter.
I've been investigating those woods, those pristine wilderness, you bastard.
Yes. Well, now, it has to be said that Pat does not call me a bastard.
Oh, yes, he did.
No.
I heard him.
No, he didn't.
Sorry, I know.
Pat is very concerned about the environment, and he's concerned about people messing it up. But I also understand that the major focus I think that you and I have is police officers messing up the Constitution and also the lives of people outside. So that's, I think, as important, frankly, as the environment. I mean, that's part
of the environment. That's not important as the environment, Robert.
Well, there you are.
Just ask Pat.
I see. Well, aside from dissing poor Pat, what are you up to? What can I do?
I don't know. Uh-huh. I'm surviving. Well, it's kind of like the Howard Frost novel, you know, the Spartacus. What is the meaning of life, Spartacus? His people would ask him, right? He says, it's to survive, it's to live.
Yeah, that's right. That's the problem for the majority of the people on this earth.
Yeah.
So you are a man who lives in your vehicle, Ed, as I remember. How's it going out there?
Still doing what I have been doing, best I can.
Have you heard of any more tickets or hassles for people in vehicles? Seem to be better, worse?
No, because I mainly hide with myself.
Uh-huh.
Me, my dog, and my cat, we survive, right?
Okay, well, that's good. Are you on public streets? Or are you hiding in private areas? Or what's give us the location so we can send the police over.
No. So we can go in on you.
Right.
Okay.
Well, Hey, we did, of course, hear from Ed Meneses, as you may have heard on the radio.
Yeah, I heard that.
Ed apparently, I don't know what he's up to. Ed was a fellow who was heading Homes on Wheels, and I have also heard from Kathy and Danny, who are activists, sometime activists who live in their vehicles, but their number doesn't catch return calls, so I haven't been able to get back to them. So if they're listening, they should try giving a call to the Huff line. In fact, that's a number anybody can call, 423-4833, if you want to report a problem or offer some assistance, and hey, there you are.
Hey, Robert, you know, I've never been tracked. Yeah, I heard Ed's down, like, and he's on his bicicleta now. They've taken his vehicles.
Right.
It's like, it's sickening. You know, and I think of the mall, I don't do anything on the mall.
Right.
It's sounding more and more like it's turned into some diabolical, like, Stepford Wives type area, you know, where there's canned music coming out to sedate the masses. I don't know, it sounds disgusting.
Well, you know, to me, it's still Pacific Avenue, but again, I'm not, you know, getting the lion's share of the harassment. I'm also, you know, from the other side, not trying to run a business with a bunch of folks in front of it who I feel are detracting from my business, and on some occasions, you know, there are some problems that come up. So, I mean, it's you know, it's a area where different groups of people mingle and mix, and I think that's part of its value, but it also creates problems. So, I mean, you know, it's not that there aren't real concerns there. It's just that dealing with them by simply privatizing things is just not the way to go from my perspective.
There's two sides to the story, huh? Because if I'm a business person down there and people are afraid to come into my store because of, you know, there's got to be something that can be worked out. And coming over like Jocko, whoever the hell that fruitcake was, and hitting that guy in the nose, I mean, it's absolutely repulsive. Then you got the fool with the hoe or something down there molesting the guy just handing out Mamiya information.
Right, you're talking about two assaults that happened on the mall.
Yeah, they're starting to get violent, physically violent. Where's that at?
Right, there were actually assaults.
That's so slow.
There were assaults against tablers. I was assaulted.
Right.
And then for doing my table in front of, you know, the planter. And then I guess John Teelking, who's an activist with the Coalition to Free All Political Prisoners, the Mumia Coalition, he was assaulted, his flyers thrown everywhere, and then apparently stalked with some kind of a weapon, garden tool, a couple of days ago, and he still has not been able to file a complaint. I think he's still trying to get Officer Brandt to take his complaint. He's contacting him again today, is what I've heard. So yeah, it can be tough times for some of us political activists, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't all stick together. And I'll be down on the mall tabling today, probably starting about 2:15. I invite people to come on down and lend a little support, and you know, be present in public spaces. And you
maybe
know,
maybe they'll have to, today. They'll probably progress. Maybe today it'll be Nazi Hitler marching music.
Well, you never can tell.
I remember supporting Hitler music.
We
take care, Robert.
All right, Ed.
I still think you're best for sticking for those people's civil rights.
All right, well, thank you.
I love you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
So you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and looks like the phones are ringing off the hook, 427-3772. Soon there'll be a line free.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, this is Pat.
Hey, Pat.
That last guy, he had a problem with me.
Well, you know, it is. Everybody's got a different view.
Yeah, his view apparently is that it's okay to trash the environment, and I'm being a jerk for criticizing it.
Well, I wouldn't respond to that. I'd say, stick with your issue is what I always say.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing. What's wrong with trying to support the environment?
Well, you don't need to argue with me about it. You need to talk to him. And
well, I would like to talk to him.
Uh-huh.
And I am talking to him right now. I assume he's listening. It's real easy to take cheap shots, buddy, but you're not making your case very well, because all I advocated was a little responsibility in the woods. That's too much for you. You're the part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you hear that loud and clear.
Oh, I'm sure.
Hard-ass punk.
I'm sure he's listening. But guys, we don't want to exchange vituperation on the show. I mean, there are going to be people who disagree with each other. That happens, you know.
Yeah, well, what's there to disagree with? Don't trash the woods.
Well, some people think you take it very, very seriously.
Well, I do.
To the extent that you seem to, it seems to them to be a caricature. That's the reason that you get the mockery.
Yeah, well,
you know that, Pat.
We're all subject to caricatures. It would be very easy to make one out of this fellow.
Sure. You know, and I would encourage, again, people to stick to the issues, and as you noticed, I moved it as quickly as I could to the issue, and that's what I'm doing here.
I never have taken shots at you, Robert, and I appreciate that you pointed that out to him, because he was very inaccurately characterizing the things that I say and the way I say them.
Well,
and that does tend to piss somebody off, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's true. But remember, when you're in the public limelight, as you and I are, and as he is, you get, you know, people tend to throw tomatoes at different points.
I get cheap shots all the time, but, you know, when I get them, I figure I'm not going to just sit still for them. Whoever you are out there, do yourself a favor and make a little effort for everybody else instead of expecting everybody else to take care of you.
We don't know that he isn't, and I appreciate your call.
There's my cheap shot.
There's your cheap shot. I'll talk to you later, Pat.
We're not going to do a duel at a distance here. If Pat and Ed want to get together, they can do so on their own time. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM.
It better not be Pat or Ed.
Hi, it's Lee.
Hey, Lee.
Hi, Robert.
Go ahead.
I'll turn the stereo down here.
All right.
It's a little loud with feedback.
Sounds like some interesting sound effects.
Yeah, good old feedback. Hey, I'm enjoying your show. I listen often to your show.
You have a wonderful show, too, as I remember. Oh, I think we're getting a little feedback there. Get away from that radio.
Yeah, I got it down now. Sorry.
Now, when is your show, Lee? Your show is...
I do a punk show on the same station, Pirate Radio, on Tuesday nights, 5:30 to 6:30, and then I do...
The Hobo Music.
Hobo Music show from 6:30 to 8 with... my close friend Bryn, fellow hobo, Bryn. But hey, so what I called about was Pat's a close friend of mine. He and I do hike together, and we have some of the same concerns about wilderness. And I just wanted to, I don't have a lot to add to what Pat said. I think he's very articulate about that and his concerns, or he articulates his concerns well. I have been a squatter for 16 or 17 years now, and I think one of the points that Pat made maybe gets a little overlooked or poo-pooed by people who, I guess I always have a trouble when people see things as an either-or situation. I mean, we're talking about some homeless rights here, human rights issues, but I don't see it as an either-or, and I don't see that... what Pat was saying is an either-or. Basically, part of the tactical thing that I see behind what Pat's saying is it's when homeless people are, or squatters in this case, wilderness squatters, do a good job cleaning up after themselves and are basically invisible mostly invisible,
mm-hmm.
It goes a long ways towards just kind of an ongoing public relations.
I think that's true.
And I think what my impression has been over the years being a squatter for that long in these mountains, in the Santa Cruz Mountains, is that when homeless people are careless, or squatters are careless with their trash and their camps, there's all kinds of ways that squatters can be unsightly, but trash is one of the big ways. It pisses off a lot of people. It pisses off hikers. It pisses off mountain bikers. It pisses off people who are in the forest for one reason or another, and it pisses off fellow squatters. I can't tell you the dozens of times in my years of squatting in these mountains I've come across homeless camps where there's rotting clothes and rotting tents and bicycle parts and beer bottles and beer cans and wine bottles and old batteries and you name it, on and on and on. And it's a big mess, and I and other people who squat end up spending a certain amount of time cleaning that shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because we care about the forest, and partly because it's a bad advertisement for
you,
for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to kind of echo that there's a tactical reason that goes along with caring for the wilderness, paying your rent, so to speak, if you're a wilderness squatter.
Mm-hmm.
And the tactical reason is it's good PR for squatting, and it makes you more invisible, and it makes the people around you more invisible, and it all in all puts a nice impression out there that people are caring and doing a good job, at least from a wilderness perspective. I'm not saying that's going to keep, you know, it'll partly keep the cops away, but it'll win a lot of friends. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out there, and I I notice over the years when Pat calls, not you so much, but other people tend to poo-poo his stuff as if Pat's some kind of a, you know, hoity-toity yuppie person who goes out occasionally on weekends and does wilderness restoration. That's far from the truth. He's a big lover of wilderness, as I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important thing to put out there. And I guess all Pat's really saying to homeless activists, not just you, Robert, but others, is that message about responsibility when you're a wilderness squatter goes along with the message about rights. And I see on your show a huge emphasis on rights, and well, it should be. I'm supportive of that, and I know that Pat is as well. But at the same time, there's some kind of a responsibility that needs to be tacked on there. And sometimes that just has to do with education, you know, just educating people. And as Pat well said, it's not rocket science. You haul in a 24-pack of beer cans full, you can certainly haul them out and stuff. So anyway, enough said. Thank you for the good show. I end up listening to both your shows pretty often, and I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate your tirelessness and your articulation and your humor.
Well,
you've got a great sense of humor.
Coming from the man who does the best zine on trains in the country, I think that that's high praise.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
I hope so. I want to get the new zine, man.
Yeah, I don't know if I got you the latest issue. I'll try to get it to you if I hadn't.
What's it called again?
There's something about a train, and the latest issue is number 6. They come out every 2 years. I'll try to float you one. I'm not sure if I got you this one yet or not.
And you're a man who's actually ridden the rails.
I just got off the rails this morning. I jumped off out of a boxcar over in San Jose this morning. I was down south. But yeah, I do a lot of rail riding. That's how I get around. And you know, it's funny that the same problem exists out there in the hobo tramp world, in that community. Basically, the traditional hobo jungle, which is the lingo for the place that hobos stay and camp near railroad yards when they're waiting for a train, the same problem exists. I've been in just innumerable times. I've been into what otherwise would be lovely places with greenery and little creeks, and they're hidden, you know, you're hiding from the railroad police, and waiting for a train, and you'll walk into some of these areas, and traditionally a clean hobo camp would have a fire ring, you know, and you can tell people have been there. It's usually the grass is matted down and you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But so many places like that along the railroad tracks are trashed out. Just everything from just piles of naked human shit sitting there to toilet paper flying around to old melted plastic things and beer cans and beer, you know, and wine bottles and you name it, just trash, rotting clothing and stuff. And it's so, when I find places like that, it really bums me out because they're otherwise ideal hidden camping spots, which are great, usually great spots to catch the trains. And then, you know, when I find places like this, I just go, fuck it. And
not that you or I would know, Lee, but is this, you think this has changed since the 30s or the turn of the century?
Well, supposedly in the day, hobo camps were very clean. Like you could walk into the story behind hobo camps was that you left the place the way you found it, which meant there was stacked firewood and all the pots and pans are clean and hanging up in the tree, and you know, and there's no trash around. Everything's cleaned up. It's ready for the next person or persons passing through, you know, and that was kind of the, I don't know, the ethic, I guess you would say.
Or the fantasy, or?
Yeah, well, maybe it gets a little bit cleaned up in history, but I have been in camps like that, and they're wonderful. You feel like, oh, I could camp here. It's clean. And there's the additional thing of sanitation. I mean, if you're camping near a creek and you can't even take the 2 seconds to bury your shit and burn your toilet paper, what are you doing to the next people that are coming through, you know? What are you doing to the little creek that's right near there that people get their water from, you know?
So that's true.
It's both an aesthetic thing in terms of visual, but there's also the sanitation thing. Who wants to sleep 6 feet away from a pile of human shit sitting there, you know? So, yeah, there always has been a little bit of an ethic about the aesthetics of hobo camps, and I don't see many like that out there. So same problem, you know, it kind of fucks it up for everybody. So anyway, thanks for letting me rant.
Hey, no, that's not a rant. Sounds like education to me. Thank you, Lee.
Thanks, Robert. Keep up the good show.
Hey, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And again, you can check out Lee's show, 5:30, for the music. And, well, I guess it's there'll be music in both sides. 5:35 it starts on Tuesdays, and then at 6:30 in the evening, the Hobo Music Show continues with Bryn and Lee. And, hey, check it out. I wish that I could remember to check out other people's shows. I guess I'm going to have to tie a radio around my finger or something. Anyway, this is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norris. We've got about 45 minutes left in the show. I'm looking at a fax here from the Downtown Association of Santa Cruz, the social and legislative meeting of February 6th, about 10 days ago. There's a couple lines missing from this fax, but I think the basic, basic message comes through. A little bit about the Social and Legislative Committee. This is a committee of the Downtown Association, which is a group of businesses who can compulsorily tax all the businesses in town. The money goes through the city council. Part of it is removed, and then it's returned to the Downtown Association to appropriate and use for different kinds of improvements and projects and things of that sort. Downtown Association, ever since I've been here, has always claimed it's a private corporation, even though it is a mandatory one for all businesses. And there was actually a lawsuit by Margaret Marr back in the day, about 5 or 6 years or 7 or 8 years ago, to try to opt out of the Downtown Association, which at that time was pushing the downtown ordinances, which Marr did not agree with. And I believe that was one of the reasons she wanted to opt out of this compulsory assessment. Well, they ruled that she couldn't. And the Downtown Association has always, according to its director, been a private corporation. So they've been able to bar me and others from meetings or make it difficult to attend them. And what I found interesting was that I was told that this last meeting was open to the public, even though it's a subcommittee, which would be even more secretive or closed than the general meeting of the Downtown Association. And this, I understand, sort of through the grapevine, happened because there was a business beyond Laurel Street, which is not part of the Downtown Association, I think, that got kind of cranky and wanted to know about the minutes to the meeting, and they were told it was closed, and so they went to the city council and said, "What are you doing? This is your money. The money the Downtown Association is getting cycles through the city council. It's public. And therefore, the Downtown Association is required to hold open meetings, and also to even more go further, it has to abide by the Brown Act. It has to post agendas. It has to let people talk. It has to they have to be accessible. And who knows? I haven't yet gotten the final word on this, but this may have actually come to pass because I was informed by CJ down there at the Downtown Association when I called about a week and a half ago that this meeting of the Downtown Association's Social and Legislative Committee was open. Why is this important to us? Well, the Social and Legislative Committee are the groups that give us the restrictive ordinances, worse police policies, and bizarre little musical warfare experiments that the Downtown Association is trying, along with the Redevelopment Agency and the City Council and the police, to make it a more shopper-friendly downtown. Not that I want it to be a shopper-unfriendly downtown, but I think it should be friendly to everybody and not just those with credit cards, checkbooks, and wallets, you know, who are willing to toss in their cash as they wander by. In any case, I was going to go to this meeting, but there was a conflicting Huff meeting. And, of course, I chose Huff over this meeting, and we hope to get a report from the meeting. It hasn't been too clear what's coming out of that meeting. But this is what the minutes say. The meeting was called to order at 9:05 a.m. Present were Yancey Lynn, David Plumley, Heidi Jager-Smith, Carolyn Hurick, Robin Reyes, Larry Selman, June Hoffman, Peter Eberle, director, he's the executive director, and Gina Ramirez, who's the host's Furious, if you will, head person, if you will. I don't wish to be too critical, but she runs the hosts. And guests were Julie Hendy, who previously was the owner of Cat and Canary and now has been hired. Talk about your revolving jobs where failed businesses get jobs with the city. Redevelopment agency boss in charge of such projects as this hippie planter destruction is what they're doing, or should we say transfer to private hands. And also a woman named Allison Holden was a guest. There was no oral communication. Downtown issues list. Peter Eberle described the actions and meetings he has coordinated over the past 8 weeks. He said he's been involved in several meetings discussing the uprising of negative behavior in downtown. The meetings discussed aggressive panhandling, verbal abuse, sexual harassment, vandalism, and various other negative behaviors. I interject here, there's nothing about police harassment or gratuitous and inappropriate merchant complaints or secret or closed or rushed process without any public comment of public spaces. We don't get any of that in here, but let that be. Let's return to these minutes. Eberle said the meeting showed results with the 7-0 approval by the city council for a cafe extension around the planter box at Lincoln and Pacific. That's, our, of course, our friends Sushi Now and Alibaba's Cafe. He added by saying the 7-0 vote included comments from each council member decrying the rise in negative behavior in downtown. Hendy explained that her position, Julie Hendy, was created in November. She gave an update on the planter box area at Pacific and Lincoln, leading me to think that the redevelopment agency is not only is the downtown association spending money on this, but public money is getting spent on this from the redevelopment agency, which is supposed to be concerned with low-income housing. You know, I mean, that is, it was also concerned with rebuilding after the earthquake and that sort of thing, but now it looks like it's become the tool of the downtown association, or rather closely linked to it. A design for the extension area has been completed. The railing is now built and should be installed before March 2nd. That's the fence that we've been talking about and decrying. The operators of the kiosks will be responsible for placing chairs and tables in the area. She also said that the redevelopment agency has an open contract with Coyote Industrial for graffiti removal, and I believe this is the same group that has been spraying the sidewalk. Now, they were doing so once or even twice a day at odd times like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which seemed to be designed to drive away young people there in the same way that the signs over in the Harvey West Park, no parking 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., were designed to drive away the campers, people in their vehicles who are parking there and sleeping in their vehicles. Again, selectively, because nowhere else in the city is there so-called daily cleaning, which is what these signs were saying, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., the Emily Riley signs. She's the councilwoman who got them put in, who made the motion, at least, and pushed for them, again, with no meaningful public process or discussion with the people involved who would be affected by those signs. Similarly, the hippie planter situation, the spraying that's going on is by this Coyote Industrial, although I hear it's been less frequent in the last few days. Maybe they anticipated that the rains were coming, and somebody put two and two together. She also said that the redevelopment agency, again reading from these minutes, has called a management meeting to discuss the rise in graffiti with department heads. She is also developing a flyer with Community Services Officer Kayla Gray to discuss ways to handle graffiti. She has ordered special reports from the courts to see what downtown behavioral cases are being thrown out and what are being pronounced as not guilty. I'd like to get a copy of those reports as well. She finished by saying that since she's a redevelopment agency person, I assume that they should be accessible to the public. Perhaps we can get them. She finished by saying that she is walking around with Officer Jim Howes, identifying areas that appear to be high crime zones. She and Officer Howes are taking sections of downtown at a time. Jim Howes is rather notorious for an individual who some accused of soliciting complaints so as to turn the Almar Avenue into one of these Emily Riley homeless-free posted areas where you can stop people from parking in the wee hours of the morning. That was way back in 1999 when the Homeless Issues Task Force actually stood up and angrily denounced this and got Howes and the city council to back down on these signs. Howes also was responsible for telling activist Bob LaMonica when he was circulating a rent control petition in 1999, again the same year at the farmer's market, that he could not have a table there. So LaMonica was an early victim of this gentrification harassment at the farmer's market that I suffered under Janet Blazer when I was twice cited, once arrested for doing this. And now we have a somewhat better situation, I understand, from the farmer's market management and also from people watching nearby, although people are actually able to come. I'm told they're able to come back and be on the Cedar Street sidewalk area where they had previously been removed by the gentrification masters of the Downtown Association and their pals in the Downtown Association, among whom I would probably wonder if the Plumleys weren't involved. They're the folks who own the flower and chocolate shop on the corner up there at Cathcart and Cedar Streets. Eberle said he has spoken to David Pollack from County Mental Health. Pollack has offered his assistance whenever we need it. I guess that means they're going to show that not only are you a criminal, but you're a crazy, mentally disturbed criminal for whatever you're doing down there. Then there's a couple of lines that are missing, and then this follows. Be proactive on these issues. The Planter Box Cafe area will be successful in moving the crowd, but they will move somewhere else. Eberle said that the Downtown Association needs to prepare its membership to handle the move and start signing citations when needed. The committee discussed many other areas in which the Downtown Association can be proactive, including developing a procedure sheet for businesses to use in common cases, creating training sessions for the procedures, and picking a specific time to have all members of the downtown community stand up against negative behavior. And that's, again, the minutes of the Downtown Association Social and Legislative Committee, February 6th. Which, maybe I'm just an alarmist, but it may mean to me that what's going to happen is that the Downtown Association is saying, we're going to get rid of them from Hippie Planter, and then we're going to follow them wherever they go and continue to harass them as we need to. And I'm hoping that's not so, and I've talked to some of the young people there who said that they're ready to move away from Hippie Planter, just go to a new place, and everything will be fine. I, by the way, am not ready to move away from Hippie Planter. I don't think it's an appropriate precedent to set to have two small businesses as cat's paws for the Downtown Association and large developers like Au and Swenson, who I wonder if they don't bear some responsibility here in this Del Mar Theater opening, just as New Leaf, I believe, bears responsibility for its silence. This privatization of the sidewalks, targeting particular groups of people, is social and economic cleansing, is what it is. And it may not, rise to the level of genocide, obviously it doesn't, but it is the first kind of step in discrimination. It's a nasty kind of thing that I think is very un-Santa Cruzan, as I see Santa Cruz, and I would like to see it contested and fought. And the way to fight it is to continue tabling after this fence goes in and encourage people not to do business behind a fence. Santa Cruz is not about fences. Santa Cruz is about open areas, or perhaps it's become more and more about fences, but it needs to be less and less about fences. So I don't know how much energy I'm going to be putting into it, but I haven't given up on this issue, and I hope you haven't either. And of course, there are broader issues we can also and have to keep working on at the same time, such as the sleeping ban, such as the general criminalization of the homeless. And the sleeping ban, of course, the law that makes it illegal for homeless people to sleep outside or in vehicles after 11 o'clock at night, is still municipal code that is active on the Santa Cruz books. In fact, it has now gotten worse with a reinterpretation by the city police and the city attorney that says that not only are driveways only usable 3 days per month, per calendar month, but now that applies to backyards, side yards, business parking lots, and church parking lots, though there may be a change in the church parking lots due to the wonderful, wonderful intervention of Scott Kennedy.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, thanks. I've been listening to your show in front of the library, waiting for it to open.
Uh-huh.
And just want to say it sounds like you're really putting a lot of concerted energy to get people to start thinking clearly about what's going on and focus on what we might be able to do to change what's going on. But I was thinking, there are a couple of possibilities, like the Loudon Nelson Center, the London Nelson Center that was left by Mr. London.
Loudon?
Yeah, but his name was London.
Oh, was it London? Huh.
Yeah, yeah. But they didn't want it to, the English people didn't want, the black association with London. Huh. They changed it to Loudon, Isn't that interesting? But I was thinking that also there's the famous Civic Center that's always a big, enormous, empty block most of the time. That would be a beautiful place to set up in the main room there, there's bathrooms there, to set up, a place for people just to lay out their bedroll. And they could have one or two people there that's part of the homeless community to make sure that they're not going to, do anything illegal. They even have a policeman if they had to. But
it actually was a homeless shelter for right after the earthquake. The Civic Auditorium was a homeless shelter.
That's a very curious point.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think that Civic Center, civic-minded people, can lend a hand to people that are in need. And if it's an empty box, you do have a right to, as a citizen, to, ask for some help. And, if you concerted effort, I think could possibly get some action in that event. But I think the Loudon Nelson, the London Nelson place, would be a little more practical. And I just think that basically there are options, and there are, there's definite ways to solve problems if there's a will. and therefore there will not be any solving of the problem. Because
I think there's a won't rather than a will. That's the problem. And I think that what we got here is we have got to get the will to do what they've done in Portland, in Seattle, in Toronto, and in Santa Cruz when they set up Camp Paradise, which is to support a tent city that is sufficiently permanent and sufficiently community-backed that the city is going to have to start considering other alternatives like some permanent structures. Yeah,
permanent structures. And, I do think that the parks may be considered off-limits, but I really think that it's really crazy when places have empty campgrounds, and many, that they don't offer to the homeless people, especially if you're part of the program. If you have to register with the county that you're homeless, that you need a place, then they should give you a discount of, say, $1 a night, or even free, whatever it would be, so that you can put your head down and be feeling comfortable and safe and feel secure in your sleep, because if you feel unhappy in your sleep and then you wake up, you're going to be kind of miserable too.
Well, we and that it was proposed by the homeless working group of, I guess, 2 years ago. We tried to get Supervisor Marty Wormhout to agree to back a proposal to open up the county camping, county parking lot and the Emmeline Street parking lot, huge places that have access to bathrooms and, adequate security and so forth at night, but at least just for people in vehicles.
Right. Even the police department.
And we couldn't get Wormhout to do it. Wormhout still is adamantly opposed to this kind of stuff. And she's the shoe-in candidate by the progressive, we're so progressive in Nicaragua and elsewhere, but not here in Santa Cruz crowd.
Right.
But, at least one candidate, Michael Schmidt, is running, has at least publicly come out for these positions, and not that he'll get the majority vote. But
right. Well, it's good to have people that are on your side, but I basically feel that this is a good place to live, and a lot of people do come here from up north and other places because they know it's a pretty nice place. But I do think that there are solutions, and I think if there's a will and some heart, I think we can solve the solution problem. And even, like I said, the police department, there's a big, enormous parking lot there, and if the police want to make some bridge between people, they might have a section of the police place where people could do it.
That was actually proposed a year ago, and Chief Belcher told everyone, we don't have adequate security.
Yeah, it's hard to get a policeman out there to walk around. But anyway, I think you're doing a great job, and keep your good spirit, because I think that will save the day.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, actually, I appreciate these callers, saving me from having to endlessly drone on. Thank you, caller. And the phone lines are open, 427-3772. Again, reminder, tonight to the Progressive Federation meet, 7 o'clock, if you want to join that group, at least listen in. It's room 22 at the Veterans Hall. And then on Tuesday night, the same room, same time, actually it's at 7 o'clock as well, there'll be a forum on the sleeping ban and rent control.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Hello, Robert. This is John, checking with the Santa Cruz Coalition with me and all political prisoners.
Hey, John.
I just had a little conversation with Mr. Brandt.
Officer Brandt, that's the man who assaulted you, huh?
Well, about the guy who was almost stalking me with a garden tool.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, I don't know whether it's going to work out for me to file a complaint or not, but I'm at the very least going to file a complaint about Mr. Brandt, because he's not at this point willing to take my complaint.
He is refusing to take a complaint.
Yeah.
Well, the thing to do is to talk to his sergeant and file a complaint about him, and also file a complaint with the sergeant. See if the sergeant refuses. What's his sergeant's name?
Baker.
Sergeant Baker. I guess it's time to go up to the lieutenant. Yeah, Lieutenant Saponi, and then you got to go to the vice chief. Wow.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's kind of annoying because, Brandt was saying that he asked me if I wanted to file charges. I don't recall that ever a conversation. I recall asking him specifically what are my options, and he said not much, and we'd have to go to court, and then we didn't follow up that conversation with anything. And he also didn't take any steps to preserve any of the evidence, such as he was handling the garden tools, his bare hand on the handle and stuff, basic sloppy job.
Did you find out the name of the person who he claimed had been arrested?
That's another thing that I still need to find out.
Hmm.
Not sure if they're willing to give that to me or not.
We're having a little problem on the phone line. Looks like we're losing volume. I don't know why that is.
It's not just you.
It's also me at my end. It's strange. Usually the phone is much louder, but it seems like it's. Let's see what's happening. We're referring, of course, for those who just tuned in, to an incident that happened to you at midweek, where you were at the farmer's market and your flyers were twice struck out of your hand.
Well, one struck out of my hand, and then when I was picking them up, he came back and kicked them again.
Ah, good point. This is where you were distributing flyers. Then he came back a third time and reportedly, according to witnesses, was menacing you with some kind of a weapon.
He was not menacing me particularly. That's part of the problem of why we can't really file a significant charge against this guy, is because I never actually saw the tool in his hand.
But others did, though.
Other people saw it in his hand and were coming up to me and warning me about it. And I didn't really get it right away because I thought, oh, he just has it at his house or something. But after it was confiscated, I realized that, oh, it was actually in his hand, you know. Like, okay.
Well, you know, I think Brandt has shown such strong prejudice over the years against numerous people who seem to be all of one class. I think he has this sort of contemptuous attitude towards people on the street, often homeless people or street people or, you know, or political activists. It's just a sort of a superior, condescending attitude. And
maybe I should get a sex change and then go claim that I was being stalked and then he'd pay attention.
Well, you never can tell. Then you might be more politically correct in that
right.
case. But, you know, I don't think you should need to take such drastic action in order to get... Rather, just it's really basically courteous treatment. I mean, they can blow you off once they take the complaint, and I'm sure they will. But to not even take the complaint...